Chad here. Thanks for listening to Script Prompt 2. We had an issue with one of our tracks for this episode. We're still working out some of the kinks of recording remotely. Thank you for your understanding and continued listening. Enjoy the show. To train my new cat to do a couple of things. I was trying to train her to like act dead when I shot her with like a finger gun.
You know? Cats do that?
You can train them to do that. You just gotta like, okay. You go pew, and then you like push them down to the ground and give them a treat, and you just do it over and over again, and then they'll start like laying down. But she wasn't.
It seems like a lot of mixed signals there.
It seems very unhealthy to keep.
Yeah, right.
Probably.
Glad you can die when I say bang, but now you have diabetes.
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't have to be an unhealthy treat. I mean, the treats that we have are like half a calorie or something. It's all whatever.
Okay.
But so she wasn't really picking up on that, point being. She wasn't. But what she has picked up on, surprisingly, is if I tell her to hop up, she'll jump on things. You know that cat tower we have in our living room?
Yeah, yeah.
I tell her to hop up, she jumps up there, and I brush her a little bit. So, like, the brushing has been a positive reinforcement to the point where...
Okay.
Like, now, Melissa actively denies that she does it. Meanwhile, I mean, even right now when I was going to refill my beer, I told her to hop up, and she jumped up on the dining room table. So, like, she's all about the hop up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not 100% of the time.
It's not totally just coincidence that she's doing it.
No, because she's been like in the kitchen and I'll say hop up and she'll run over to her tower and jump up. Like she's at her tower, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty obvious. She's been like in the hallway and I'll say hop up and she'll run in the bedroom and jump on the bed. So it's pretty obvious she's responding. I mean, it still only happens like 80% of the time because she's a cat and half the time she's just like, fuck you, right?
Yeah, yeah. Most of their attitude is fuck you.
Yeah. And now she's really confused because she's in the room and I keep on saying hop up. She's like, I don't have anything to jump on, fucker.
I've already hopped up. I can't hop up any further.
Yeah.
Didn't you get cats, Sam? How are your cats doing?
I did not get cats.
I thought you were looking into getting something.
I was, and I decided not to because... Because
you're allergic.
Yeah, well, that's part of it. And then also possibly moving. Like we were talking about. But no, I had cats. I had them trained pretty good. I lost them in my divorce. I lost all custody, so I haven't seen them.
Yeah.
Well,
I'd love to get some cats, but my wife's allergic, so no can do.
I've made it very clear to Melissa that, you know, we got this new cat as a replacement for my old cat who died last year. And if for some reason we end our relationship, the new cat is mine. Like, she's ours for the time being, but yeah. But she's my cat if we're not together.
Yeah.
And Melissa's just gonna have to deal with that.
Yeah. We have two bunnies living under our deck now. That's close as a cat thing we have.
That's cute.
You better start plumping them up for Easter.
I definitely know where to get our Easter bunnies this year. We did have one. I don't know where the second one came from. Pretty soon we're going to have 150 of these fucking things. So,
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'll start my own bunny farm.
Start breeding them and then getting them all fat and chunky, and then you could sell them to H Mart.
Yeah. ChunkyRabbits.com. Look for that website coming soon.
H Mart is where I get my rabbits for Easter dinner.
Oh, okay.
We're not sponsored by them. We're legally obligated.
Chad's just like a huge fan.
Well, they're like the one place I can find rabbit because apparently it's not cool to eat rabbit for Easter.
I don't know. I think it tastes pretty good.
I'm down. All right, this is Script Prompt 2. My name is Chad. I'm here virtually with Paul and Sam, and this is the biweekly podcast where we improvise and brainstorm film and television script concepts based on creative prompts like genre, character, prop, and setting. It is Sam's turn, so we're going to go ahead and roll and draw some prompts, and then Sam is going to lead the conversation from there. Let's roll. One.
Oh, damn.
All right, and our one prompt is time travel.
All right.
Okay.
I like
I can make something with time travel. I mean, like, that's basically what we get for, you know, a 48-hour thing. It's just like, you know, make a time travel movie. And then...
I feel like a lot of actual movies start out with just the word time travel and, you know, they just start shooting right away. So I think we can make something.
All right.
I have a stellar time travel idea, but I'm not going to say it because it's something that I have actively written a treatment for and character outlines and other bunch of other stuff that wouldn't be appropriate to use as a script prompt too. It's on the spot.
Sorry. How's my lighting? I'm playing with this light here because I just noticed that I was a black blob on the call and you guys couldn't see me, so trying to get some of my face in there.
Quick, you're quite working. About to get run over by a truck.
It's very bright. Oh, I looked into it. Now I can't. I'll see your spots. Is that okay? No. You can see a little bit of my face?
Yeah, it's very dramatic.
I'm shooting a noir tonight.
Yeah.
So one idea that I've thought about, like, very briefly, kind of a quirky coming-of-age comedy of, like, a guy in his late teens, early 20s, who's, like, doesn't have his shit all together, right? And then... someone from the future, and not a version of him, but a person from the future comes, kind of like Bill and Ted, I guess, where they come and say, oh, you need to get your shit together because you're supposed to be this great person in the future, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they go through all this stuff based on that idea that this person is someone from the future who came back in time to make sure that he is successful. Or maybe it's not like a coming age thing. Maybe it's just like a general, this person is down on his luck or whatever, right? And and then you come to find out that the whole entire thing is this kind of paid service similar to like The Game with Michael Douglas.
Okay.
Where like his friends and family paid to have this company pretend to be from the future. This, they send an actor and everything that tries to help this person become, you know, who they think he should be, right? More socially active, more have more initiative with work and everything else.
Okay.
And then maybe there is some actual time travel involved, who knows? But that's a time travel idea.
Yeah, I think time travel for a movie idea can include something that's like ambiguous. Like you look at safety not guaranteed, and you know, the time travel aspect of it is just kind of always in question until the end of the movie. So it's like, you know, it's still a time travel movie because it's about it, but it doesn't include it until, you know, one very small part of the movie, you know?
Yeah. And I actually wish that they didn't. That was my least favorite part about Safety Not Guaranteed, is that when they actually had them time travel.
Yeah.
And maybe that's some sort of like fantasy thing afterwards, but it just made, it made so much more sense that he was not capable of time traveling.
Yeah. If they cut to black, you know, before it was kind of like
even ambiguous.
Yeah.
Would have been better. I didn't like that they showed that he was that he was like actually able to time travel.
Yeah. It was still a good movie. The ending, I feel like, you know, you could shoot it like three different ways, and they went with the way where, you know, he could actually do it.
And they may have shot it three different ways, but then did some test audience stuff, and they're like, oh, we want you to, you know, make it more concrete at the end.
Yeah, because I think with that story, you know, it earns the right to have it be a true thing, you know, at the end of it. I think it earns that. But it might have been a stronger movie if it was just left ambiguous, you know?
Yeah. What are you guys thinking?
Yeah, what do you got, Paul?
I was trying not to do what I normally do and just think of my movie completely instead of listening to any, what everyone else says. So I might need a second here to kind of like fully form or this just, idea.
What's your own idea? What are you thinking?
I mean, knowing what I know about time travel and movies and stuff like that, I've kind of thought of this just like independently of me just, you know, zoning out in a work day being like, time travel is impossible except for this one thing. And yeah. What I want to have a movie that is about finding the center or like the origin of where the Big Bang is in the universe. Because one of the aspects of time travel is that not only do you need to know where in time you want to go, but you need to know where in space you want to go. Because the universe is always expanding. If you knew when you wanted to go somewhere, but you didn't know where the Earth was relative to where you are now, you could wind up in the middle of the Earth, you can wind up in the middle of space and all that stuff. So I wanted to make a movie that's about scientists finding the origin spot of the Big Bang. Because once that's discovered, then time travel is possible. So it could be almost like the intimidation game. Am I saying that wrong? I can't say that word. I'm fucking up this word. The one with Benedict Cumberbatch. I can say that word, but I can't fucking say the intimidation game.
I haven't seen it.
It's about Alan Turing, who developed basically a computer to crack the Nazi, what's the thing called?
Encryption.
The encryption thing. I can't remember what the stupid thing is called. It has a name.
Well, like whatever code they were using.
They're like little code to the things.
Code messages.
Yeah, it has a name. I'm blanking on it right now. But he developed a machine to decode their messages, and he's a super smart guy, right? And it's all about after he finally cracks the code and develops this machine about how they strategically use that like information to help win the war without giving away the fact that they've cracked their code like so early in the war. And it's really interesting the way they kind of like reveal information and stuff like that. And I kind of want my time travel movie to be about scientists learning and looking and discovering where the center of the Big Bang was so they can figure out the final equation for time travel and, you know, input that into their device to make sure that they land on Earth safely when they time travel forward and backwards to make sure they're not just floating in space and dead somewhere, you know?
I think that's interesting.
I wonder if there's an opportunity there to like show that they've mastered time travel time.
Yeah.
Not space, right? So
like they can do these small jumps, right? Like they're like they can do like 20-30 minutes because we're not relatively moving that fast. Yeah.
So maybe they do a couple of those small jumps and they don't really notice the difference. So they keep them going. And then maybe they do a bigger jump and
someone like winds up inside a tree or something like that.
Fails horribly, right?
Yeah.
And then you see the aftermath, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So like to demonstrate that they've figured it out, except for this one huge thing that no one ever thinks about, right?
Yeah, like they need to figure out that this is a thing they need to figure out in order to make it actually work. And I think that's kind of a cool way to start, is them getting time travel to work with whatever machine or process, but them finally realizing they need this extra step and then working towards that extra step. And then, you know, towards the end of the movie, they'll probably figure that out. And you can even, you know, have once that moment that they figure it out, someone comes from like the past and like winds up there to prove that they figured it out. You know, I don't know. It could be a cool kind of thing, but it's more about the process of time travel, like the discovery instead of I made a thing called the flux capacitor. No, it's like actually using more science to you know, think about the whole process of time travel, you know?
Yeah, well, I think like in order to develop that more, we still need to like create antagonists and conflict, right?
Yeah.
So like, is there like a rival scientist that are also trying to do it or whatever? Like, is there more to it than just we're trying to solve a problem.
Yeah, right? Like maybe like they've been contracted from the government and they want to use it for more like a teleportation thing. But they're like, we can use this for actual time travel instead of just teleportation. But we need to know this one critical number or factor in our calculations to make it something that's beyond like a 1 or 2 minute jump from Seattle to Iran or something that, you know, mm-hmm. they say beyond just the application that they've already figured out. And we're like, we can go further with this. Kind of like how like the Fly, you know, he's like, he figured out the teleportation thing with the pods, but he's like, I can do more. I can, you know, let's jump this ump to Annie. Let's figure this out. And so maybe it can kind of turn into, you know, something where a couple things go badly with their experiments and shit. But eventually they kind of figure out that this is the factor. And then they, you know, they science the shit out of it to figure out the actual calculations and everything like that to, you know, prove this groundbreaking thing, which would be great to know just in general, would help with a lot of like astrophysics and shit, but would also give them the last key for time travel.
That's a pretty cool idea. I like that.
I like that, Paul. I really like the idea and concept of trying to find like the center of the universe.
Yeah.
I guess theoretically where the Big Bang happened.
Yeah.
As far as I guess like the stakes, I feel like there should be a reason they need to figure this out. Like Interstellar kind of did a good job. Like Interstellar is a time travel movie.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. Like they need to figure out a way to save humanity from this blight. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So could maybe be something like that. Like,
yeah, I think you can have two kind of things going on like that. I think that's a good idea to have extra kind of like context around what's happening with the world and why they're doing this and why they need to find the time travel, you know, origin, you know.
There's like some kind of deadline or when they get there, it's something they didn't expect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they get there, like there's some kind of force, you know, that is something that they didn't expect, you know, that is the antagonist or maybe causes some kind of trial.
Yeah, like maybe they time traveled, they tried to time travel like back, you know, good while, but they ended up in some other like universe. And now some other universe is aware that we have this technology and is coming to, you know, attack Earth or something like that, or at least go to Earth. And we don't know their intentions yet, but we know that, you know, we first did this experiment. This guy wound up way the fuck out in the universe where we don't know how he was even set there because we didn't figure in this factor of the universe constantly expanding. And now something has launched from that area where we last got the signal of this guy.
Yeah.
That's kind of, it reminded me a little bit of Contact a little bit, like on the goals, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
With,
I could see that.
Jodie Foster and like how that kind of transformed. I was thinking it would be interesting to have, and maybe this is just my biases playing here, but it'd be interesting to have like a group of radical, like Christian fundamentalists or religious fundamentalists that are fighting this because, like, if they find this where the Big Bang started, then that is like, it's just like all these steps towards like
disproving the religion,
disproving the religion, and and playing God in a way, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know how that would play into it, or whether it's even, I mean, if that's the message you'd even want to have, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can have like a couple like extra background elements kind of going on. Like, that doesn't need to be like a main thing, but like maybe it's like on a TV every now and then you see like some religious person like spouting something at a press conference, and then later in the movie they try to, you know, blow something up, and then one of the buddies dies in a, you know.
Yeah, like having a big experiment happen and then be sabotaged by someone.
Yeah.
A couple of different reasons why that would happen. And I mean, the easy one is, oh, the opposing scientist or the opposing government didn't want to do it. But like, if you got into more of like a social reason, and maybe it's not religion, maybe it's just like, you've already fucked up the world enough with everything you're doing. And yeah, you're trying to go back and save it, but we'd rather just see how things turn out on our own from here. Right. Because like,
yeah,
maybe the scientists did something like that put Earth in this trajectory towards imminent doom.
Yeah.
And they're trying to fix it. And maybe there's a group of people that are just like, you've already fucked up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, stop. Or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, Sam, do you want to do your time travel thing? We haven't heard from your idea.
Yeah.
Sorry, I kind of bogarted it. My bad.
No. I think this is a good way to do it. I like where yours is going. I think it's a good way to go. I was originally thinking kind of like a film noir thing, because you said it earlier and it's kind of picked my mind, like some kind of 20s Humphrey Bogart style, you know, kind of film noir where there's, you know, some kind of mysterious thing where maybe somebody's disappearing and a dead person is appearing mm-hmm. who had been missing for months. So maybe like there's some kind of weird like swap going on and just kind of film noir investigating some kind of like gangster yeah. plot that's using time travel.
I like that adding time travel to a noir, because it's like,
I like that a lot.
That's like that's a kind of like a genre mixture that doesn't really get done, you know?
Yeah. It's not really sci-fi.
Yeah.
Not in like a 40s noir, right? Like, I think you have a yeah. bunch of, you could do it in like a neo-noir type way with time travel, like a modern noir type thing, but not as it like it happened in the 40s. You don't really see that at all. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting.
Yeah. So I was thinking that just, and not really have it be like explained, you know, just kind of time travel is happening and our point of view characters trying to figure out why. First yeah. off, I guess the film noir kind of topics where nothing kind of matters would come in there as well if people are time traveling now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then also just, you know, the typical kind of thing about it. But I also like where you were going, Paul. I think that's a cool idea. And trying to digest that. So I'm down to keep going with the idea we were just kind of discussing for a while, too.
You want to keep going with my idea?
Yeah, we talked about it for a while. So let's go that route.
Okay.
I think, you know, we kind of got to decide what the antagonist is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, I like the concept of the center of the universe having to get there. There needs to be a reason. Like I was saying, Interstellar is one where that's like, we got to save humanity by this deadline.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's also like the 2001 kind of aspect of it where there's this mysterious force that they have to go to. They go to it. And then it's yeah. kind of more like a trip, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of like an exploration of bigger themes. It's not really like a kind of normal narrative where there's like, you know, good guy fights bad guy.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, 2001 and Interstellar are very similar. Kubrick kind of stops with the monolith and not explaining it. And Interstellar kind of takes you to a little bit more of a space
yeah.
within kind of like a known solar system, not known, but you know, like an unknown solar system kind of idea, but they're very similar, you know. Just Kubrick is more abstract with way how he does it.
Yeah.
You know, you got that weird trippy space kaleidoscope thing going on, and then he's in the room with himself as an old man, and it's like it's really yeah. trippy. But they're like, if you took the beats, it's very similar. It's just one makes you think without explaining, and the other one gives you like an actual plot and story.
Yeah.
So it's like, what do you want to do with this? You want to make it like art house, or do you want to like, you know,
yeah.
give a full story? And I love Interstellar. I'm not shitting on it or anything. I'll throw that on, you know, every 6 months or so, because it's just like it's an awesome movie. And McConaughey is like, he's turned out to be a better actor than I expected.
Better actor than yeah. anyone expected.
Yeah. Right.
That said, I am not a big Interstellar fan, but I'm also not a big 2001 fan.
Oh, really? I love 2001. Yeah.
Considering how much I love sci-fi and things, right?
Yeah.
I am not a big fan of either one of them.
Well, I disagree.
Well, you're drunk. I love 2001. I don't even really think it's a sci-fi movie, but it's not really a sci-fi movie all the way through, you know?
It's more like a metaphor on humanity. I kind of think it's like that.
I always took it as being like, you start out with man first using the tool. That's probably when man started, right? Separated. Mm-hmm. And then it goes to the point where man is creating new conscious with Hal, you know, and then killing it. And then kind of that warp zoom thing is kind of, you know, man going from creating life, you know, taking the place of God almost, right?
Showing man its own trajectory, you know?
Yeah. That's why the baby is overlooking the earth, you know? That's how I always took it. But, you know, there's a lot of sci-fi movies where the scientists go out to this weird thing trying to figure out some kind of secret MacGuffin, almost. That's going to save everyone back home. Or there's the more art house exploration that's kind of more in bigger philosophical themes, you know, which are there if you're trying to find the center of where everything started. And when you get there, there would be more than just probably gas, right? There'd be something kind of spiritual there for them to find.
I think that if we're looking for where the universe started, right, I think that it is possible that we already know that. I don't know.
I don't know either. I have not looked this up. But it's like thinking in my head that this could be a cool idea for a movie.
Because we're talking about the reason why we need to find it is because the planets expand from it and change, then it is likely that over the course of even the past, you know, 50, 60 years of us intelligently looking into the stars and trying to determine things, that's excluding thousands of years as this happening, but at least like maybe now we have higher power telescopes and we're more educated on what we're actually looking at, they may be able to already determine roughly where the universe started, where this Big Bang happened.
Right. I mean, we've only been actual in space since like for only like 60 years. Like that's nothing in compared to like,
No, I know. And I mean, we've been looking in space for thousands of years, but but looking and seeing where things are growing and then seeing where they're growing in the, in an opposite direction and trying to pinpoint that. So I wonder if maybe they go through and maybe this is something they can determine from a satellite and they do. But when they look, there's something there that they didn't expect that they want, that they need to investigate or something. I'd like to add that kind of why would they go there type of thing.
Yeah.
Unless it is, they need to be further into space to see.
I think they need to be further into space to like triangulate where a Big Bang would be. Because like if you take where Earth is now and take the opposite of that throughout the year, that's how we kind of calculate stuff with satellites at a hike, the distance we measure on both sides of the sun throughout our year. But in order to make something in like have a bigger calculation of distances throughout the universe, you need to be like from Earth to like Neptune to figure out that distance for such a large calculation. So maybe we've figured out interstellar travel. So maybe this movie takes place in the future by like 60 years and we've gotten to like Andromeda. And by that, the research has been able to help triangulate where the center of the universe is.
I have really bad news on this theory.
Yeah.
The universe doesn't appear to be expanding from a central point. It expands equally throughout, so it's expanding, but it's not expanding from a point. It's just expand. There's no center of that.
Yeah,
expanding.
It's also not like a 3D space. Like there is the theory that it's like a curved kind of. It's not like you could just walk.
Gravity affects
time
all this
and
stuff.
All that.
Yeah, but like
what we can probably tackle in this.
Gravity is a huge factor in this, and I think that's kind of like a thing that's going to make, you know, the calculations for what they need for this time travel like so difficult. And you know, it doesn't have to be exact science, but if you get enough of it in there, people will kind of fill in the gaps and figure out, you know, what's going on. It's like the old I forget who wrote it, but the movie Network, which is about like the TV station and the guy's like, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yeah, well, he's going to kill himself on national TV.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that movie.
So they when they were making that movie, one of the producers came on set and he was like, people aren't going to know what the fuck they're talking about because it's all just like lingo that you would just use in a newsroom. And he was like, I'm just going to say it and people will figure it out and fill in the gaps. And that's what we kind of want to do with this is have enough actual science in there to where if we're missing something, you can just kind of let people kind of fill in the gaps, but kind of give the broad strokes of where things are going on. Then maybe someone does say, you know, something like you said, Chad, where we didn't actually expand from this and then gravity is pulling us this way, but they're going back far enough in history. There was kind of this, like suction of all the stuff till it got so hot it exploded and made the universe kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. So if you just kind of like throw that science in there and, you know, provide some real facts with a couple kind of speculations, then you can kind of make this movie work with the science. You don't want to just make shit up, but you want to kind of like, you know, people theorize that this, and then if you just kind of like throw that in there, that could kind of fill in the gaps with some of the leaps in science and facts that we're going to take with this, you know?
I'm just saying, I don't want Neil deGrasse Tyson telling us how much our episode is bunk.
Well, I mean, time travel is impossible. So if we try to make it scientifically as close to possible as we can, I think Neil deGrasse Tyson would be like, you know, they're doing all right. They're doing all right.
Be these script prompt two guys, they don't know shit.
Yeah, why don't we get him on as a writer and then he can fill in the gaps?
Heard three guys talk through their ass so much in 1 hour. Well, I was just kind of thinking that, you know, the theoretical center of the universe is billions and billions of light years away, which would take a completely crazy amount of scientific progress to be able to achieve. So I kind of feel like for them to get there, that would be like the ultimate scientific like achievement, you know, like if they can get there, they could figure anything else out.
Yeah,
that's beyond time travel, right? Like that's
well, you would have
that step. Yeah,
you would have to time travel to get there, you know.
Yeah.
You'd have to figure out some kind of way. Like time travel ultimately is going faster than the speed of light, or like satellites technically time travel. It's relative.
Yeah, it's all relativity and like gravity and time, which is a relative factor based on gravity and space. So it's like it's all this really fucked up shit. Yeah.
A clock on a satellite is a second faster than a clock on the surface of the Earth.
Yeah.
Because they're just going so quick.
And like the gravity pull compared to the surface of the Earth to, you know, 2 miles up in the stratosphere is different. You know, that's all how we just like generate the theory of time is gravity through space, you know?
Like, what if it was like modern day humans were invited by some kind of mysterious entity to the center of the universe for this meeting of all the civilizations, major civilizations in the universe? It's like year one.
Yeah.
And we're going to take you there. So Earth picks their, you know, I guess, dozen people they're sending to this meeting.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah, him and I guess Dennis Rodman.
Of course.
Of course.
You know.
I think Russia's going to send Putin, but
yeah, it's okay. Just, you know, all the superstars out there. Tonya Harding.
All the superstars of today. Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson.
Tim Tebow.
Yeah, the Tiger King. All of them get selected.
Gronkowski, he's going up there.
The Gronk.
The Gronk, he speaks for us all.
Yeah. So Earth put together this delegation and they go out there to the center of the universe for this meeting. And then I think there's got to be some weird spiritual stuff going on once they get there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get there, we could have some fun. I'm always thinking like the Holy Mountain. You know, where everyone meets up and it's like everyone who are like the biggest capitalists or whatever in the world. And
yeah.
You get like a little profile on them, you know, like, you know, I am Mars. And it goes and like, this is my weapons factory where I employ children to make guns, you know. They all like do terrible things and stuff. Like you could kind of have it like that where you have maybe, you know, five or six civilizations in the whole universe that are like human level or something, and they're all there, and they're all just fucking pricks, you know. And you can all kind of see, you know, just you could comment maybe on like humanity and all that kind of stuff, and how they compare to each other, and then there would, I guess, be the motive of whoever called this meeting, you know, why.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get art housey with it, and I guess more of a social commentary.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
This alien civilization that Sam was proposing, maybe their task was to, you have everything you need now to transcend time and space.
Mm-hmm.
and
here's your power up.
Well, but like not in a like we're giving you a magic crystal, but just in knowledge, right? Like by being there and by knowing, like they give them some sort of information, and then where did they go from there? So the idea is, in order to go to the next level, humans need to transcend time and space. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to merge these ideas together. I don't know how your council of alien
I was just thinking like make it more of a social thing, like,
yeah,
because time travel is so big, and like I feel like most time travel movies just get done because they break it, you know, like it can
like
be
they
fun,
make
like,
the
back
rules
in the...
and they break it, yeah.
Like especially if you're trying to do a serious one, like Back to the Future, you don't really care because it's fun, you know. Like, yeah, he's trying to bang his mom, but
I just rewatched it, and Biff going to give his younger self the almanac in the past, he can never get back to the future to return the DeLorean. So that never would have worked.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been able to.
But
yeah,
you don't care, you know.
But you don't care because it's fun, and it's like, okay, now they have another fun problem to solve, you know.
Yeah, but with like a more kind of straight science fiction thing, I feel like it's really hard.
Yeah.
I was kind of just thinking like they all arrive at this thing and it could just get really weird. I don't know, like they're just like, let's get fucked up the first night, you know. And it just gets weird. Like not in a like party thing, but like what if you had like all these different civilizations there, you know, and the mm-hmm. Earth sent like 12 people, but they're all like representative of the Earth, you know, so they're very diverse.
Yeah.
And just kind of have like a weird orgy thing going on, not like a literal orgy, but you know, like a weird melting of like all this weird stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's maybe the intention of like the person who called it or something was.
Or what's the story after that is what I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they all just end up eating each other or killing each other. I don't know. I don't know. I haven't really thought about that much, but have it be more like about that than like, oh, you got the secret to time travel. Sick.
Yeah. I was just trying to tie those two ideas together because we've been talking about this idea of humans being on the verge of time travel for a while, and then we're talking about this alien like
congregation
summit.
Yeah.
And how do those two ideas fit together? But maybe they don't.
Maybe there's a ring and they gotta like destroy it.
I like that idea. Let's get into they pick one representative from each humanoid nation to destroy the intergalactic ring of
Xenu.
Doom. And then we start Scientology. It's all time travel. I love it.
I love that this
like,
turns out to
right,
be
we're good.
It turns out to be a promotion for Scientology.
Yeah.
I mean, the last promotion for Scientology in a major blockbuster movie did really well.
Yeah.
Look, I watched that movie like maybe 3 or 4 times before I even realized it was about Scientology. I was like, oh, it's not a bad action flick. I like Barry Pepper. He's a good actor. I don't like John Travolta in that role, but, you know, Barry Pepper is killing it. I like him. And then I was like, oh, Scientology. I was like, oh, fuck this.
I don't know how much Battlefield Earth is exactly Scientology. I mean, like, I'm sure it has some messaging in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like a book that was written by L. Ron Hubbard before he decided to write religious texts. He wrote science fiction novels, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah, I don't know if it's about Scientology. It's just written by
Ron Hubbard. Yeah. I mean, he was just a science fiction writer before he tried to get out of paying taxes. So, I mean, there could be some shit in there that he reused for Dianetics, but I don't know. I haven't read either of the books.
It would cost a lot of money to read the Dianetics shit to buy it all.
Yeah.
All right. So I do think that for the sake of the show, we do need to have a plot. We can't, I don't think like movie ideas where they're plotless
work in the, they don't work all the time.
Movies with no plot.
I'm just talking about in the context of this show. Maybe not. Maybe that's what Sam meant by doing something different.
Yeah. I don't know. Which way do we want to go?
I'm fine with going with this intergalactic spacesuit orgy, but then what happens after that? And who are the antagonists and who's the protagonist and what's the goals, right?
All right, I think we kind of go with this searching for the center of the universe kind of thing. I'm not sure about this intergalactic kind of thing. I think you want to kind of leave it, the movie, off at like them figuring out in the beginning of time travel and kind of leave what they do with that to interpretation. I think you want to imply that this has intergalactic capabilities, because once we kind of figure out time travel in the center of the universe, we can figure out a way to calculate where certain planets are and start sending like probes to figure out which solar systems have livable Earths or planets that have intelligent life. And I think that could be kind of like the context of them looking for time travel, because time travel is really the only way to get to these vast distances. Light speed is not going to cut it when it comes to going to another galaxy, because these are insanely far away from where we are. But time travel would allow you to make those jumps to these other galaxies to see if there is other intelligent life out there.
I like the idea that like a lot of sci-fi up until now looks at, oh, we develop some sort of warp drive or some sort of hyperdrive as the trigger to us being accepted into a larger universe.
Yeah.
Of people. But I think that maybe it starts a little earlier than that, because you have to develop this technology to transcend time and space before you, at a much smaller level, before you're applying it to large vehicles, right? Because like all of the other civilizations in the universe that are capable of traversing the universe are able to bend and warp time and space to their own benefit.
Yeah. So because you look at Stargate, right? And they go through the Stargate and they're instantly at another planet. But who's to say that them walking through the Stargate horizon is not time travel? Because they're instantly time traveling to another planet. So it's very similar to like this kind of idea. Like once you develop time travel, now you can go further than you ever expected. And if you have, you know, some kind of ship that harnesses this time travel capability, you can get to distant galaxies to figure out where the other intelligent life is in the universe, you know?
I almost feel like time travel would be like nuclear weapons. Like the ones who have it don't want the others to get it.
Yeah.
Because it could be a huge threat, you know?
Yeah, that's why I kind of want to set this a few years like into the future. You set this like, you know, 2132, right? So 100 odd years in the future, and we've had a couple more wars on Earth, and we've all kind of just become Earth instead of these separate nations, with, you know, the exception of a few, and we work together to complete this project in order to expand our universal footprint and help kind of combat some of the issues that we didn't tackle, because, you know, global warming, we're fucking up the Earth, but like we figure out that we need to do more than just stop what we're doing. We need to like actually repair and fix it. So what we start to do is look to other universal societies to kind of help bring back technology so we can repair our planet instead of just get off it and have a colony somewhere else.
I would say more like alien civilizations would not want Earth to get time travel because then they could come, you know?
Yeah.
Like Alpha Centauri, if,
oh, that makes
if
sense.
They have time travel, they're like, oh shit, the fucking Earth, they got time travel, they can come here easy now, and they're fucking stupid.
Oh, maybe you do have like another antagonist besides the religious people that is from one of those other galaxies. Is like, oh shit, Earth's getting close. We want to sabotage them so they don't actually figure it out and come and ruin our fucking planet or something, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking. Like, they get called to this meeting. Like, okay, you join the, you know, everyone here has time travel.
Yeah,
we're cool. are you going to be cool?
Is everyone going to be cool here? We're looking for cool buddies.
You could do a lot of shit that way.
Yeah.
But maybe it's a trap, you know?
Yeah. It's like, you guys can be cool or else we'll destroy your fucking planet.
Yeah.
Kind of a...
Maybe, yeah, maybe while they're gone, they're blowing it up or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, well, we're adding conflict now. I like that. It's not just a space meeting.
I mean, there is conflict, you know. I'm going back to the Intimidation game or whatever that fucking movie was. Like, the conflict was a lot to do with leadership.
Yeah.
And, you know, who was providing the money for the project. And, you know, he didn't see any progress for like a year or so, even though they were making significant progress. And I kind of feel like you have that as one of the antagonists. You have the religious groups as one of the antagonists. And if you want to throw in this like space council of beings that kind of oversee time travel in the universe, time cops, right? Then you have this like third council of people that are also antagonists, and they're warning all these planets that are in civilizations that are recently discovering time travel that you guys don't fuck this up or we will destroy you. We know how everything works. It's almost like a god kind of like aspect, and maybe some of the weirdos will see it like that, but it's more of just like, scientifically, these, whatever called the council, is so far advanced and has discovered time travel so long ago that they're just like, we can't just leave all these random fucking beings to their own devices. We need to kind of like manage this, otherwise this can have serious implications and fuck up the universe, you know? And then you can have this kind of three antagonistic entities going after the main group of scientists to figure out time travel, kind of a deal.
Maybe the people on Earth that are fighting it, maybe they're reptilians in disguise.
They're like, they have a couple like inside people from other planets.
Yeah.
And like, so when like they call the council, one of them is like, from the other planet, representing the other planet, but the guy recognizes him as this like evangelical guy, and he's like, "What the fuck are you doing here? We already have the Earth people." And then the dude who called the council's like, "This no, this motherfucker's from somewhere else. This is what we're talking about. Shit like this, where you can't go around fucking with other things to make sure you have an advantage over them to destroy their world and take it over." And he's like, "If you guys go and fuck this up, we're gonna blow up your goddamn planet, you weird evangelical space alien dick." I can see that all kind of working. This would be like a 3.5 hour fucking movie, but yeah, it could work. Be fucking longer than The Irishman, you know?
With twice as many CG Robert De Niro's.
Yeah, well, like, dude, my first time ever watching Apocalypse Now, all I heard about was Apocalypse Now Redux, and it was like right after it came out. I had never seen the original before, and I was like 14, and it took me 2 fucking days to watch that goddamn movie because it is like 6 hours of them on a boat doing other shit, having fucking dinner with some French people. Mm. There's a lot of extra shit that didn't need to be in the movie, and when I finally watched the original cut, I was like, this is so much better, and also I have an extra day to do stuff.
Yeah.
Well, the same thing happened to me. I would always get stuck at the dinner scene. You know, when I was a teenager getting into movies, I'm like, I gotta watch Apocalypse Now. It's like one of the best. And then
there was all the hype AMC. About Redux. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the dinner scene would happen and I'd always fall asleep.
Yeah.
I was warned not to watch Redux, so I...
Oh, well, son of a bitch. No one in my family had seen the original one.
Send them a beer.
Yeah, right?
I was Professor Gonder at Anne Arundel.
Oh, this is even before I moved to Maryland, so... Cheers. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
For me. Gonder's the shit, though. If anyone knows Gonder... Cheers to him. He's led so many careers in the DMV area. That dude's a fucking legend.
Gonder's the shit.
Cheers. Yep. I love him and his little ponytail, too.
I like to figure out where we're going with this.
Yeah, I gotta go to bed at some point.
If we hone in this like plot, you know, I think we can get something good in there.
I like any of these ideas. It's just... We did kind of take a detour on what the idea was. We spent a lot of time talking about this idea of scientists searching for some answer to a problem that helps solve time travel. And then we started going into this intergalactic space union stuff, which, in my opinion, is kind of two different journeys.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, I think that, if just figuring out how to do time travel, that almost sounds like a historical biopic about something that hasn't happened, which feels a little weird to me.
I don't know. I think you can, if you do the tone right, I think you can make it work. Like, you look at something like District 9, where they kind of tell the story of aliens landing in Johannesburg, and then the kind of aftermath of how they dealt with those aliens and how it changed the society and the dynamics that was already within the kind of racist slums of that area. I think they kind of dealt with that kind of whole big universe, but they dealt with it quickly and kind of jumped into some of those points where what happens with one of the kind of people in charge of handling these alien beings starts to slowly become one. You know, I think that we can kind of make that work with this, where the implications of this science are large within, you know, society when it comes to religious peoples and whatnot. But, you know, we kind of take a microcosm look into one or two sections of society and use kind of religious people as a whole as like an antagonist and kind of cut out maybe some of the other stuff that we were talking about, which would be cool for like, you know, a trilogy or something like that. But for one single film, you probably need to trim that down a little bit, you know?
I guess I still don't understand what this movie's about.
I think it's going to be about the discovery of the concepts that get us to time travel. Like, right now, like, we have the ability to teleport, but using that same technology to travel back and forward into time. Because the similarities in the science isn't too far off, but the technology is a little bit different with this one factor of finding out which direction our galaxy is constantly accelerating in, depending on if we're going forward or backward in time.
Yeah, I get that. I guess my thought is, like, there's still no plot there, at least for me. Like, it's just, that's, like, the exposition. That's the setting.
Well, it's going to be more of, like, one of those historical docs. I keep going back to Benedict Cumberbatch and his movie. or even The Theory of Everything, right? Where it's about Stephen Hawking and how he kind of developed his theory of everything, which was like the theory of the universe, like mathematically and all that stuff, while he was dealing with what does he have? His wheelchair disease.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess my point is, like, those things actually happened.
Yeah, but
the,
like,
the drama comes from like they're, it's about them. Like,
yeah,
each one of those movies is about the person who created it. Like, the Stephen Hawking movie is about Stephen Hawking. The Alan Turing movie is about Alan Turing more. So, like, the plot is him doing his life's, like, highlight, but
yeah, it's
ultimately a movie about him overcoming adversity.
Yeah.
You know, of who he was. And same thing with Stephen Hawking. You know, he had this disability. He overcame it. That's what those movies are actually about.
Yeah. I mean, this could be like a second kind of like, or like a different kind of version of a mockumentary. Like mockumentaries are typically funny, like jokes on history or, you know, mocking a metal band in the 80s or 70s. Right. But like, if this is a mockumentary about time travel, we can make it a serious mockumentary. It doesn't have to be slapstick. It can be, have some serious concepts in there. Just the way they kind of do with some of the bookends of Interstellar, where they have those interviews with people talking about the Dust Bowl, but really they're talking about the ones around Interstellar in that universe, you know?
Yeah, but even in Interstellar, the universe around it, the traveling, the going, the time traveling, whatever in it, is all a backdrop to the story about a father and his daughter and their relationship and that growing and being separated and him coming back and all that stuff. So I'm 100% with Sam on needing to know who, you know, the protagonist is and what is their journey. Now, I don't agree that just because it didn't happen means we can't tell the story. We just need to figure out what that is.
I mean,
but it's got to be grounded in a way that you can relate to it. Like, if it's just like a historical documentary about something that never happened, there's not a lot of drama in that. There's not a lot of ways to connect that as a person. It's got to really be based in like, you know, like Interstellar is like a relationship.
Okay.
The reason that the weight of that scene where they're in that planet with the really dense gravity, the time there is like, you know, like 2 seconds is like a year or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
The reason it has drama is because every second he spends there is more time he's losing with his daughter. That's the drama of that scene and what makes it good. If this is just like a movie where it's like, and that's how we figured out time travel.
I mean, you can add that in there.
It never even happens. It's not going to probably happen in our lifetimes. We have no way to connect to it. You know,
we can have that.
Like, I can identify with the world ending because I don't want the world to end.
Yeah.
As we're watching the world possibly end right now, you know, like.
Yeah. Like, so we can have that world ending kind of thing in there as the reason this project is even funded. But the main like scientist, he's doing this so he can bring back his father or something like that. You know, that's his personal touch to actually doing this. Why he even got started and put on this project. He wants to bring back his father, and he thinks he can through time travel. But he uses this like blight of man and our declining planet as his manipulation of whoever the funders are to get his project off the ground so they can figure out, you know, a way to save current time. But really, he just wants to go back and finally say what he wanted to say to his dying father. So he can have like this opening scene where he's not able to express what he wanted to his dad on his deathbed. And that's his real motivation behind doing all this, but he sells it to funders as saving the planet. So you can kind of have that like dual conflict, and you can have another scientist like confront him on that. If you figure this out, you can talk to your dad. He's not really going to be back, but we need to save Earth now. And he, you know, at some point he's going to have to decide between going back to bring his dad back to life for a brief moment to say what he needs to say, or saving the Earth. And that could be like a conflict that happens between the scientists of like, what the fuck is your like true motivation here? So you can have a couple different things going on there. You got that internal conflict with him and his unresolved issues with his childhood, where you can kind of have some flashbacks going to when either he was abused or like his mom was, with some domestic abuse kind of stuff. And he needs to confront his father while the Earth is dying and these religious groups are getting on him and the whole project, and at some point sabotaging it. And that whole big kind of thing can work. And I don't think you necessarily need a point for point kind of plot. But if you throw a lot of this into that kind of context of searching for time travel to save humanity, while he's trying to fix his own humanity, and his own internal conflict, I think that can all work together.
So I have a couple thoughts. I'm kind of interested in the idea that, like, if they had a bunch of failed time experiments, that maybe someone he was close to died in one of those experiments early on, and that's okay. Who he's connected to.
He's trying to save them.
Trying to change what they did. But it already happened, and time travel doesn't work that way. And that's
the time machine where you can't change your reason for going back in time.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Like, he keeps trying to go back to save his wife, but the whole reason he even made the time machine was because she died, and he can't change that fact.
And he can't. So
she's going to die eventually, some different way. And that's so. I always like that idea that the motivation for time travel can't be changed, because otherwise you never would have developed time travel.
And I don't think that it doesn't change their motivation. They were trying to develop time travel regardless, but it does change that it already happened. Whatever motivations he has beyond that can't change. Another thing I was thinking is that I want to try to flesh out what is happening in the world that it's ending, and how is time travel going to change that? Because part of what I think the disconnect there, for me at least, is just that, like, what is the, I mean, even in Interstellar, I don't think the goal was to save, I forget.
There was a blight on crops, so there wasn't enough food to feed people.
Yeah.
It was like a worldwide dust bowl.
No, I know. I remember that. But, like, what was him going into space wasn't bringing back more water, right?
No. He was basically taking all those embryos and shit that was on the ship to start a colony somewhere else, continue humanity, because what's his name? The British dude was like, yeah, Earth's going to die. This is about saving our species more than it is about saving Earth.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so Interstellar, you know, he takes this trip to try to save the human species because the Earth is dying, and that makes sense. What is happening in this universe that we need to develop time travel in order to save the world?
Oh, okay. So I mentioned this earlier, but it's they need the time travel to find a device to reverse the effects of climate change, not just stop them, but to actively reverse them so we can have a livable climate again. Because, like, if we set this, you know, 60, 70 years in the future, you know, the Earth has become so hot that it's barely habitable outside of buildings and shit. And what we need to do is develop some sort of technology that actively heals the Earth back to where we can live outside of bunkers and outside of underground zones and stuff like that. Because if we start to heat up the Earth so much to where our ozone layer starts to get affected, and then we get hit by the radioactive sun waves, you know, you can no longer go outside, even like sit in a room with a window. You have to be underground to be protected from the sun's radioactive magnetic waves or whatever. I don't know. I watched The Core recently, and they said some shit in there. I was like, okay, that kind of makes sense.
Sounded fun.
Yeah. I was like, all right, let's throw a little bit of that in here.
I don't really. They're trying to go forward in time, and hopefully, someone from the future has developed this technology. That seems like a huge risk.
Well, it's either that or they're trying to
back in time to stop.
They're either trying to go back in time to stop it, go forward in time to find a solution, or trying to make it to another planet that is habitable for Earth so we can move our species to that planet, sort of like Interstellar. But if they happen to have a solution technology-wise that can help reverse our global warming, either way, it's either we develop the time travel to jump these far distances to go to another universe with habitable land, or we find another civilization that has the technology to bring back to Earth to heal Earth. That's the goal of this time travel project.
What about this? I think I found a way to bring Sam's Council of Alien Elders into the story. So their plan is to go back in time to stop an event from happening that triggered this 100, 200, 300 year plummet into, you know, ecological, you know, disaster.
Mm-hmm.
They figure out how to time travel, but they can't do it because you can't change your motive, right?
Yeah.
Then they're approached by the Intergalactic Council of Time Travel Elders that are like, you've learned what we've learned, and offer them a alternative solution, which is moving to another planet or something.
Yeah.
Something similar.
Yeah. So I think we got kind of like all the elements there of what this movie could be, right? You don't think we have anything. I think it's all there, man. We got sidetracked in the middle for a bit. But yeah, I think we got it all there. Like, they're trying to do this. They get intercepted by this council. They help give them a solution, which is, you know, go back in time to convince others to change their ways, which is not going to work, or move to another planet to save your species. And, you know, that's kind of the direction we take.
And that's fine and good for the bigger plot. But like Sam was talking about earlier, we still don't know who this movie is about and what their journey is, because this is just a backdrop to that journey, right? Like, you don't watch Star Wars because...
Okay, all right, we'll give the guy a name.
Politics.
Sure.
you watch Star Wars because, you know, Luke is struggling with his being an orphan, and his aunt and uncle were killed, and then his other, like, replacement father was killed, and then...
You
like,
watch Star Wars because of robots and lasers. And then his
sister,
All right, fine.
I like the idea of kind of setting it up with we're so close, right? Like,
yeah.
We're just off by one beat, right? We're so close to being there. And a good way of doing that, and that adds a lot of emotional humph, is by having someone that they're all close to, you know, be a subject and not live.
Yeah. Yeah. You can have someone, like, they did these small jumps of like 5 minutes, but then they tried to do a longer jump of an hour, and it winds up that they're halfway inside the dirt where they, you know, they have the facility, and they die because they've like molecularly meshed with the dirt because they don't have this one factor. And that's when they realize they need to know the origin of the Big Bang, because we are ever expanding and constantly moving as an entire universe. And that's what kind of sets them on the path. And they don't try to bring this person back, but they try to move forward with time travel.
But they're also much more reluctant to make choices and make decisions and do a number of other things because of something that happened early on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this big decision, and maybe it is our main character who makes this decision to do that final jump that proves that they figured it out, they're struggling with a lot there because they don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you can have that final kind of conflict between the number one and the number two scientist out of the five-person team kind of comes to him being like, I know this is it. Trust me, it's a leap of faith. And then he does it, and, you know, he goes. But he's not talking spiritually about religion, the leap of faith. It's just like, you know, emotionally, internally, I believe that we figured it out. I don't want to put this burden on anyone else to die. So it's going to be on me to prove that we figured this out. What do you think, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're at a point where we're not really going to like nail it down. Since you have the best grasp on it, why don't you title it and lead us through casting, and then let's put a bow on this.
All right. Well, I'm interested in who the characters were
all right.
Casting.
Yeah.
All right. Lead us through it,
Paul.
five main scientists that are working the problem, and then you got a head evangelical person outside. You got a head military person that controls the money and is kind of overseeing the project and wants to see progress. So we got seven characters to cast, three of which on the main science team can kind of just be, you know, not super developed, but, you know, you want good kind of support actor and actresses kind of thing. So the main character, let's say the main two scientists, you think of Michael Keaton? I think Michael Keaton for the government guy.
Okay.
I think he could be like a general that's kind of like overseeing the project and he wants fucking results. He's kind of older now and I think he kind of like fits that bill.
Okay. All right. So he's at five scientists. Whoopi Goldberg. As the vet.
So I think what I'm thinking,
Kristen Wiig would be good in there.
I'm fine with her being one of the scientists. I kind of think the main scientist, if we can get him out of retirement, should be Daniel Day-Lewis. He should be the main.
I'm sure he'll want to come out for this one.
Did he legitimately retire?
I think The Phantom Thread was his last movie, but now he's into making clothes. But, you know.
Yeah, he got really into that. All right, so Daniel Day-Lewis, Kristen Wiig, Whoopi Goldberg.
I think maybe we should make Whoopi Goldberg the evangelical lady. I think she can kind of like throw in some gospel shit, you know, and kind of be like an antagonist. she's played so many like likable protagonists, and you know what's the Oda May from Ghost, where she's the
doing it. I think if we
make her the like antagonist religious person, but I
nobody
think
hates
she can go
Whoopi.
Into that.
Nobody hates
I know, but you want to see that Whoopi range, you know?
Okay, so Whoopi is the evangelical person. All right, so we got...
So going Daniel back to Day the Lewis, scientists, Daniel Day-Lewis, Kristen Wiig. Let's throw in...
Will Smith.
No, not Will Smith. Let's throw in Michael Pena.
Okay.
I like Michael Pena. He's got that, like, John C. Reilly factor where he can do, like, stupid funny movies, but also, like, serious dramas. So I like his kind of his acting style. And let's throw in a couple more women in there. Let's do Aisha Tyler from Archer.
Does she do live acting?
Yeah, she did live acting for a long time before she got the show. And I liked, I don't know if you guys ever saw it, but there was a movie called Life that had Jake Gyllenhaal and Ryan Reynolds.
I watched that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I think Jake Gyllenhaal can be a good kind of like minor character. I don't want him to be top billed at all. It's all about Daniel Day-Lewis, and then supporting him is Jake Gyllenhaal. Not even like his name's not even on the poster for this thing. And then that kind of like rounds out the cast. Michael Keaton, Whoopi Goldberg, Kristen Wiig, Daniel Day-Lewis, Jake Gyllenhaal, Aisha Tyler, and Michael Pena.
I think we need to cast an alien Time Lord or two. Someone who has a really powerful voice. Maybe we go with Benedict Cumberbatch. He's pretty good at the voice acting.
Okay. All right.
All right, and we need to come up with a good title.
What about The Center of Everything?
All right. I like it.
That's cool. All right. I like it.
We got The Center of Everything, a wild time travel discovering science thriller. Starring Whoopi Goldberg.
All right, that is Script Prompt 2. Check us out on social, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Script Prompt 2. You can check out our website, scriptprompt2.com. If you have any of your own ideas based on the prompts we drew today or any other episode, or if you'd like to suggest your own prompts or tell us how to make the show better, email us at podcast@scriptprompt2.com. And if you really like what we're doing, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/scriptprompt2, where you can get bonus episodes and early access to all of our content. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye, 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 bye.